cliffcentral.com.
Hello, this is Kirk Douglas. I'm finally dead. It has taken a long time. And now I'm finally rid of that horrible son of mine and grandson who is a loser.
Yes, poor old Kirk Douglas, 103 years old, finally kicked the bucket. It was bound to happen. I mean, really, who thought he was going to last forever? Honestly, people were talking about it like, oh, Kirk Douglas, 100 more years.
Yes,
I'm telling you.
I'm deeply saddened by this.
I'm sorry that you're saddened by it. I think he had a great innings and he had a great life and he was Spartacus and he was... Well, he was this brilliant man. I mean, what a great life. I don't feel sorry for people like that. You die at 103. I'm not crying at your funeral. I'll celebrate your life.
Gareth.
That's what I think. And you can have fun with Kirk Douglas because even though he had strokes, he still went up and accepted awards. He still eyed out all the chicks in the room. The man lived well. Didn't he and his wife, they stayed married to the end. Is she still alive?
I don't know. I'm just... saddened because I'm adding 3 points to my death pool list.
Yeah, is that all you get? Yeah, you're adding 3 points.
That's why I'm saddened.
Yeah, wow, there we go.
Look, he had good innings from like 80. This guy was a soldier in the Second World War.
That's
he was
it.
A superstar actor.
I'm
he had
telling
amazing
you.
Amazing innings.
What a life to celebrate. Like, if people are so full of shit, they're going to be like, oh, Kirk, you know, it's so sad. We don't have him with us anymore. He wasn't with us for the last 20 years anyway. A guy was just, he was really on borrowed time.
Yeah, let's be honest.
But he was living it out, man. He had a good time. He got to see more interesting things happen in those 103 years than I think very many people ever will. And what a great life. Lived a Hollywood existence for the majority of it. But before that, as you say, he was in World War II. This is a strong guy.
Yeah.
Good man. What a great guy.
He made almost 100 movies in his 60-year
unbelievable
career.
He had Michael Douglas as a son as well.
Yeah, well, that's why I say he's like, he wasn't so thrilled about that towards the end, because Michael Douglas has become a bit of an embarrassment.
Michael was actually the one who confirmed the death of his father, and
yeah.
He died in Beverly Hills in their family home,
right.
And they say, it's with tremendous sadness that my brothers and I announce that Kirk Douglas left us today at the age of 103. To the world, he was a legend, an actor from the golden age of movies who lived well into his golden years, a humanitarian whose commitment to justice and the causes he believed in sets a standard for all of us to aspire to.
What a great guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm just I'm not sad. I'm just in awe of the fact that this guy had this incredibly colorful life and lived so long. Wow.
Okay, so I'll
103.
Just add...
You're going to add a 3 point to your... That puts you way back in the rankings, right?
Yeah, I'm getting a little nervous. Do you want to run through some of these names quickly?
Yeah, let's have a recap. It's
okay.
Important. Death pool time, everybody.
So I have here Gareth's, Ben's, and myself's. We'll actually have to rejig this as well from Bulelo.
Now. Exactly. We keep changing. More people on the show die in terms of disappearing from the show
than people on this
on
list.
The death pool. Right. So we've got to keep changing it.
You have Harrison Ford, Macaulay Culkin.
Mm-hmm.
You lost George Bush Sr. last year.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You have O.J. Simpson, Sean Connery,
mm-hmm.
Corey Feldman. We're surprised he's still alive.
There's no value there, I'm telling you. None.
You have Mick Jagger, Ben Kopinski, Prince Philip, Mel Brooks,
well, Prince
Bob...
Philip. I've got a good chance with Prince Philip.
Bob Mugabe, you lost last year.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter as well, and Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke, Jimmy Carter, those are good ones. Mm. And Prince Philip, obviously.
Ben
there's
lost...
not a lot of money in them because... they're all old.
Yeah,
so
you need
get
these
less
young
points.
Ones.
If Macaulay Culkin had to take a drug overdose tomorrow...
you're in the money.
Ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. That's where I make
I'm really not gunning for people's demise here, but I think we should rejig this. Add like a Demi Lovato who's on like a fifth overdose or something. Ben has Stanley, Dr. Kumalo, Ryan Seacrest, Harry Styles, Melanie Griffith, Elton John, myself, Clint Eastwood, Larry King, Betty White, Anthony Hopkins, Morgan Freeman, and Rob Kardashian. Mm-hmm. And then I have Desmond Duba, John McCain, Kirk Douglas, Barbara Walters, Gareth Cliff, Shalene, Surti Richards, Michael Caine, Sher, Hulk Hogan, Johan Stemmett, Caitlyn Jenner, Tito Jackson, and Meg Ryan.
Yeah, you got some good ones there.
Ah, they're all old.
I don't know, huh? Tito Jackson could be worth some money.
You know the Jackson blood.
Yeah, well.
And as toddlers, they were picking up bricks.
Yes, that's, you know, you could always ask Joseph. He would tell you that.
So they endured a lot. Mm. They'll still be fun.
All right. So we've got to create a list for Mbulelo, and maybe he just gets one of us of the other people's lists. We'll find out. We'll make it work. But we'll publish that on the website too. You can join in. Play it in your own office. It's a fun game.
I wonder what Kirk's life was like.
What do you mean? Towards the end?
Yeah.
Great. You just pump the guy full of drugs at some point. It just feels good all the time for him. But I do think he did have meaningful interactions with people up to very close to the end. Like he was going up on stage at 100 years old. So even if the last three...
Even I think the last two years we saw him publicly.
Were shit.
Yeah.
That's 1.5% of his total life.
No, he left nothing out there. Like a life well lived is you leave. Now he will regret nothing.
Right.
Whether you believe in life beyond the grave or not.
Because even if you do something terrible in your 20s, for example, and you cheat on your wife or whatever in your 30s, you realize your 30s, if you're Kirk Douglas, it's only 30% of your life.
Yeah.
He got to 103. He got 100 plus 3 bonus years. You get... It's a lot of time to apologize to people you've hurt, things you've done wrong, set things right. Observe the world over a long period of time. You become way wiser than I will ever be just because you spend time. I look forward to that. I hope I live as long as he did.
And he gave us Gordon Gekko. I mean,
yes. I mean, Sun created the character. Don't give Kirk too much. Kirk probably had nothing to do with it. You're making a movie. Please.
Look, and he was still, we didn't hear of his life being, you know, so sad and depressing. No. He was still spotted here and there being pushed around in his wheelchair. They'd go for lunches. They'd be at award shows.
And I'm sure Anne was still around a lot of the time, his wife. Lindy says, you've got to add Babes Wodumo to the list. Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
Someone says, who the fuck are you talking about? Oh. You don't know Kirk Douglas, Vincent? I'm going to do some research. And we're not here to baby you.
We're here to just provide the news.
That's right.
Oh, Anne is still alive at 100 years old.
There we go.
That's a long time.
Those Douglases, holy shit.
I don't know why. My knees are aching. My back is...
I'm willing to find out who in the Douglas family is still alive and female and just to fucking make a super child with one of them.
That's thinking, Gareth.
Yeah, Anne, maybe is she still fertile?
Yeah, I was...
Now that Kirk's out of the way, she's finally mine.
I'm laughing, but I'm... Oh, this is
Come
awkward.
Over here, honey.
I'm looking at... Looking at a recent photo of the lively couple.
Yeah, well, they were in wheelchairs. Listen,
they're both in wheelchairs out in the sun.
There was this dude at the Trump State of the Union speech who he invited, a Tuskegee Airman, who was one of the first black fighters in World War II, in the Air Force, right? The early American Air Force. This is a big deal because these guys went and fought the Nazis and then came back to America where there was still segregation. But they still did this for their country. They fought the Nazis because they realized that was a greater evil even than the kind of segregation they were subjected to in their own country. And he's 100, this guy. McGee, General McGee. You have to actually... Listen, I'm not going to go too much. We've got Canton coming later, and he'll no doubt want to talk a bit about what's going on in the U.S. because Trump was acquitted. Mm-hmm. The Senate voted, I think 52-49, to acquit him of the impeachment. So that's done and dusted. And what a fuck up. Another one to notch up to the Democrats. What a waste of time. The only thing he said in his whole speech about impeachment, and he didn't even really mention it, he kind of tangentially said, the only victories in Washington that are worth celebrating are victories for the American people. Kind of kicking the Democrats right in the throat. Because that's true, right? Nope. How many people's lives have been changed by this impeachment? Zero. How many people's lives have been improved by this thing? Zero. How much did the Democrats gain from it? Zero. So he's right. Like, the only victories... He was talking jobs. He was talking...
No, he was talking jabs.
Jabs. And have you noticed he only... His compliment, the greatest compliment he could pay to... I'm sure when he gets into bed with Melania, which maybe still happens, who knows? No. She probably can't... I mean, I don't know if she likes him. I don't know, but she... I reckon after they've had sex, he probably goes, great jab. Because like, that's what he says to everybody. He says to Congress people, he says to secretaries in his cabinet, he says to... great jab. That is like the great Donald Trump compliment. That's the best thing he can say to you. You did a great jab. Terrific jab. Amazing jab. That's his thing. Melania goes, oh, thank you, Donald. Very good.
By the way, she didn't disappoint me again. The State of the Union.
She looked fucking smashing, huh?
Gorgeous.
And she pinned that... now, I want to talk about someone who I have... I've followed in broadcasting for a long time because they gave Rush Limbaugh, who's been diagnosed with lung cancer... he won't have long to go. He's... I mean, when you're stage four lung cancer, it's pretty much... you're nearing the end. Rush Limbaugh... I can honestly say I never liked the guy. I always thought he was a real douchebag from the conservative right. Didn't like his politics. But I remember listening to tapes of Rush Limbaugh when I was a kid. You know, the two, maybe they're three. I'd say they're three American broadcasters who I regard as having been the most incredible and instrumental in how I saw and understood radio, how I thought I might be able to carve out some place for myself in radio, and in some way I hope that I managed to make some of that happen here in this country. But I would say to a much lesser degree than the other two, Rush Limbaugh was there, and he was an extraordinary force in American politics. I mean, at one point, he was the kingmaker in the Republican Party. At one point, if Rush Limbaugh said something, everyone in conservative America towed the line. Oh. He was a powerful man. And he used to have this opener to his show, which went, and now, here's Rush Limbaugh with talent on loan from God.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
He was funny, but he was also, he didn't really like talking about himself, despite that intro I just told you about, because he had a good sense of humor, but he wasn't my kind of guy politically. However, whether you like someone or not, you've got to, if you are a principled person, be able to admit that someone changed the world. And in the field of broadcasting, what this guy did for talk radio, I mean, at some point he had 20 million listeners every day to his show.
Shucks.
Now, that is monumental.
When was that?
This was, well, I think it's still good. It's still up there in the 15, 17, 20 million range.
Because I was going to say, to garner that sort of audience, I mean, before he,
and he's had it for,
and
he's had it for like 30 years. So that is unparalleled. Conservative talk radio, everything that they've ever done in the movies, any character they've ever based on a talk show host in America is in some way a reflection of Rush Limbaugh and his contribution. So when Trump gave him that medal, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I felt a little something, because this guy, despite him and I not... I wouldn't have listened to the Rush Limbaugh show. I was interested in what he was doing as a broadcaster, but I wasn't interested in the content itself, right? This guy was a genius, and he remains a genius. He's not dead yet, but he's ailing, and I thought it was really cute you brought up Melania, because here's where Trump is such a showman. He doesn't just say, we're going to give him the award. He says, Melania, give it to him now, and then... In the State of the Union, there's this moment where this old guy, and he's slightly deaf now, he's got cochlear implants, and Melania is pinning this badge to him, and he's crying because he's so emotional about his wife's there. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that... The State of the Union is theater. It's a big show. That's what it is. And Trump is better at that than any other president, because he's a TV character. He's a celebrity. He gets this. He knows how to put on a show. So, you know, congrats, Rush Limbaugh. And well done on that award. And Melania putting it on is just great.
But look, whether it is the president himself or this is he and his team working on this, he's just winning based on being the bigger man.
Well, I mean, this is the scary thing. I wrote this little piece, which I'm going to read briefly because I just think...
Oh, yeah, it was so good.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people hate this, but I think it just illustrates the problem that they've got at the moment. The Democrats, I mean. And I'm looking at this from the Democratic Party's point of view. So I said, imagine being the Democratic Party in the U.S. And people say they're called the Democrats, but it's the Democratic Party. Look it up. Imagine how it feels to fail at everything you do. Because that's their story for the last 3 years. Russian hoaxes, failed. Stillborn impeachments. Even Obama's legacy has been taken apart over the last 3 years. It's been thrown in the rubbish bin. Obamacare is done. It's gone. There is no single thing that was built during that administration that has survived. And some of it's been cynical from the Republican side. But a lot of it is because this stuff just did not have staying power. Imagine screwing up your primary caucus in Iowa, which happened this week, so badly that nobody knows who won. We have no idea who the front runner is, because Iowa is such a fuck up. Imagine having only utterly garbage candidates to offer up. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Bernie, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden,
Pete,
Amy Klobuchar, and Pete Buttigieg. Who of those people could take on Trump? But here's my point. I go, imagine having such garbage candidates to offer up against someone you keep telling everyone is rude, racist, wrong, dumb, dangerous, bad. That's what they keep calling Trump, right? But imagine being worse than that. Imagine losing to that guy again and again. Imagine believing in narratives, postponing reality, denying facts, prioritizing your feelings to the point where man means woman and gender is like a mood that you put on in the morning, like clothes. Imagine being the party of slavery, because that's what the Democrats are. People forget that when they were fighting in the South, it was the Democrats who were fighting for slavery. Imagine being that party that promises minorities the world and cannot applaud when minority unemployment hits record lows or minority wages improve, because that's what happened at the State of the Union. Don't even want to applaud. Imagine hating racists, but making someone's race the most important thing about them. Imagine the cognitive dissonance that generates in your head. It's no wonder these people go mad and take to social media and dox everybody that they can to virtue signal their way out of completely hating themselves. Imagine calling everyone you disagree with a bigot and canceling them on every platform, only to find that they garner a bigger audience than your best candidate. And this is what's happened. It's just unreal. Imagine, despite having the whole of Hollywood, the mainstream media, Silicon Valley, and academia behind you.
Yeah, this is what got me. I'm like, this is the truth, though.
Despite having all of those behind you, you squander the American people's trust and credibility, and you demolish all of those people with you, the media and Silicon Valley and Hollywood, and because they've lost their cred. Imagine your core support comes from far-left, green-haired, obese, mentally unstable Bernie activists, Epstein's friends, and avowed communists and anti-Semites, rather than focusing on hard-working families, ordinary determined self-starters who quietly live their lives trying to give their kids a better life than they had. And then you go on TV and you call them hicks and rubes and deplorables and you laugh with Don Lemon on CNN about them. You're better than them. Imagine being so ideologically bankrupt that the only thing left to do is to tantrum and tear up speeches and scream and beat your chest in horror and frustration. Imagine being more obsessed with Trump than Trump is. And ain't that the truth?
And that says a lot.
Jesus. Imagine being that shit. All you had to do was not be crazy and let Trump tweet his way to screwing it up. Because he can't help himself. Sits on the toilet at night. And he's angry
executive
tweeting.
Executive time.
And all you had to do was let this guy screw it up and not be crazier than him. And what did they do? They got crazier than him. This whole circular firing squad thing that I spoke about yesterday, that constitutes the 2020 Democratic Party. I actually feel sorry for Nancy Pelosi. Her false teeth are nothing compared to the false, toothless jackass. That's the symbol of the Democratic Party, by the way, that they have become. That's all I could think yesterday while I was watching the speech. It's like, come on, guys, what do you got to offer? Nothing but failure and a loser mentality. It's just so bad.
Oof.
Anyway, a lot of people wishing Kirk Douglas well as he departs into the next acting role. In other news,
his acting role.
Yeah,
he's 6 feet and going to be.
This is Anushka. She says, "In other news, I keep stumbling across Keeping Up with the Kalvaris from 5 years ago. My good grief, I was on the floor this week. I'm so sorry for Lorraine Maisel. She endured a lot. Now I know why Damon is on psychiatric medicine. Bernice is such a vibe." Jesus.
The beauty of podcasts, something honestly from years ago, is now being brought up again.
Oh, it's timeless. If you haven't heard it, please go and listen to it. It's phenomenal stuff.
The Gareth Cliff Show in American Politics Daily from 6 to 8 a.m. And that's from Babazi.
Oh, well.
Does Elson blatantly ignore what Trump has done for minorities in the U.S.? Does he outright ignore the young black girl who got open scholarships to any school of her choice? Does he not understand black unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been? How on earth do people claim he's racist? Elson needs his head checked. Can we have a special phone call to Elson when Trump wins again, just to laugh at him? And then someone said, this is Riette, I think. She says, I read Kirk Douglas lost a son, Eric, to a drug overdose in 2004. Usually parents don't bounce back from that, but he held on. Oh. Goodbye, Kirk. Rest in peace.
Okay.
How about this suggestion from Brandon? Brandon says, following yesterday, what about having a Gord and Bored show special? The inherent yet interesting rambling bullshit from Gord versus the mind-numbingly boring philosophical shit show from Mbolelo. That would be great. I do love the feedback.
So I like it.
0797482090. Tell us what you're up to. 6:30. By the way, I have the longest day in the world today, so if I'm supremely grumpy tomorrow, then you at least know why.
No, please. Don't you want to take a day off tomorrow?
What do you mean?
Supremely just grumpy.
Do the show from bed. Skype us in. I don't want to deal with you.
Sorry, Sia.
Wait, I'm predicting.
Have you got a phone yet?
No.
But what's this long day, Gareth? Take us through it.
I've got a meeting now at 8:30. That's going to last until like 11. Then I'm interviewing two of the oldest people besides Kirk and Anne Douglas. It's like 11:30. They're interesting people.
Yeah, I was about to say, want you to hear the story.
Well, I'm going to talk to them for a little while. It's actually a beautiful love story, which, well, you'll find out about on the show. Then I've got a 2 o'clock meeting with a very big client, which I'm hoping to sort out and land. Then I've got a 4 o'clock meeting with another big client, and that hopefully will go well too. But these are important, so I've got to be on my game. I can't be sleepy and lazy. And
there's some traffic in there as well.
Oh, there's going to be traffic. Then I have an event this evening I have to go to.
Oh my goodness!
And a dinner after that as well. So I'm gonna be wiped out tomorrow. But how was the movie?
Oh.
Jojo Rabbit.
So awesome. I think the experience of just having everyone there made it all the more better. Like, we had a proper packed house. And I even was looking at the list again this morning because of how committed our audience is to being there and being part of it. Yeah. So there was a group of friends in particular that I want to like shout out because they were so determined to being there. They made each of their friends email to make sure that like somehow they crack tickets to join us. Yeah, so it was like Jess who emailed and her friend Samantha as well who emailed, but they just made sure that the whole squad, I think at the end there were like 8 of them who came through just to support watch the movie. It was really, really cool. Yeah, so even load shedding couldn't put a dampener on
great
things.
Great job.
Load shedding tried to stop us. We had backup generators. It was really awesome. And Jojo Rabbit premieres for the rest of the country tomorrow, the 7th of Feb. And let me just say, Mbulele, you can argue if you want, but there's a reason why it's nominated for 6 Oscars.
I thought it was okay. It was a little darker than I thought it would be. But I guess
you add Nazis to something, it usually gets a bit darker.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I'll just reiterate exactly what we've been, how we've been promoting the movie this whole entire time. Picture World War II. And picture this young boy, he's 10 years old with a wild imagination. He's all alone and he seeks comfort in an imaginary character of Adolf Hitler. What does that... It is really... You end up laughing and you didn't think you'd be laughing. Yeah. And he's 10 years old. He has this wild imagination. His friend is his imaginary friend, Adolf Hitler. And then he discovers that his mother... he discovers that his mother is keeping a young Jewish girl in secret in their home.
Yeah.
Oh, what ensues after that? Yeah. It's a lot of laughing that you didn't think would happen. And then also, there was a moment actually that I'm not going to ruin the plot of the movie, but Mbulele, do you remember the whole cinema gasped? There was one particular scene.
Is that when Hitler brought out his kitten mittens?
I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, it was something else.
But to go from laughing in 1 second to gasping all in all was really, really awesome. Jojo Rabbit, like, Askis, if you weren't able to join us yesterday. But yeah, go out and see.
And I got to say, you know, our listeners, Gareth, you're always like, I wonder what kind of people listen to us. But I was kind of, we obviously, we're welcoming them. Super put together people, like, all of them, yeah, smashing.
I've seen these savages.
Dressed to the nines.
Why are you like, surprised?
No, because
Bulelo like, thought they would be beneath him.
And they were all well above me. So it was awesome to get to meet everyone. Because they're not just people on the other side of a WhatsApp message or whatever. It was nice. Really cool. Yeah,
I've met these savages. Can't believe we have listeners like that.
They were not savages.
No, I'm. That's a compliment for me.
You have a gift as well. Someone brought you a gift last night. Shit. I'll give it to you after the show.
Really?
Yeah, it was really cool. It was from Ruth. Ruth attended, who messages us often.
All right. Very good. Okay. Good, good, good.
And then, by the way, everyone was so comforting as well. They're like, Sia, you're in Hyde Park. Are you okay?
Oh, nice.
How are you? I'm like, okay, guys, see, this is not turning into like an AA group here.
That's beautiful.
It was nice. Though.
All right. Lots of things to talk about. So let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. First of all, Kwakwa, you know where Mabale is from. Water has been dispatched to Kwakwa in the Free State after recent protests over shortages and promises of relief by Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation Minister Lindiwe Sisulu. First of all, what a horrible job in government. Water, sanitation, and human settlements. It just sounds like that has got to be the most depressing job to go to in the morning. Where do you work? Oh, at the Department of Human Settlements, Water and Sanitation. But it's good because government should not be glamorous. And it's because this government can't get anything right that they now have to send in water. She's distributing 5,000 water tanks to households. I don't know how those people have been living up to now.
And just the basic thing, water.
I know. You think you take
just
this for
to
granted.
Get that right. Yeah.
But again, the minister's promised over 200 million rand would be spent towards addressing the shortages. This government genuinely believes that they can just spend their way to making things better. And we have no money left. The treasury's empty. But I suppose, you know, when it comes to water, you don't have an option. You've got to help people immediately. And the only way you can do that sometimes is to spend money. So the department spokesperson, Sputnik Ratao, said, "We're hard at work."
Fuckers.
I worked with Sputnik. He was at Prime Media with me once. He said, "We're working hard at working with our officials in the Free State to bring that plan to fruition. At the moment, we've got 16 water tanks that have been delivered. Just 16. This is the first step to ensuring the directive the minister is actually brought to life. So good luck, people of Kwakwa. I really hope that you have water." Lesotho's first lady, who we talked about yesterday. Wow, what a story.
I just feel like this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving for the next while as well.
Messiah Thabane is accused of orchestrating the murder of Dipulelo Thabane, who was married to her husband, Prime Minister Tom Thabane. And the newly appointed Lesotho Prime Minister, it's just amazing. This story, she's been granted bail in the High Court in Maseru for murder. She's accused of orchestrating the murder of the former ex-wife who was married to her husband, Prime Minister Tom Thabane. She was the Prime Minister's second wife. She appeared in the Maseru Magistrates Court after she handed herself over on Tuesday. Prosecutors allege she is the mastermind behind Dipolelo's killing, which came days before her husband was sworn in as leader of the Mountain Kingdom. The pair was involved in a bitter divorce, which saw the Prime Minister marry Messiah 2 months later.
Mm.
Police attempted to oppose the bail application, but clearly, you know, they get paid by the guy who's... Yeah, wife is now in the dock.
Now it's also come out that there were like 7 other people who helped her plan and put this murder together. And so I wonder who those are and how that happened. But really, it is going to be the story that just keeps on giving.
Sia's loving this.
It's incredible, though.
I found myself watching his inauguration from 2017 because I wanted to see everything. They had a moment of silence for the first wife there.
It's like Lady Macbeth.
And then Messiah was also there at the new inauguration, holding hands with him.
Oh, my gracious.
So I didn't understand. I still don't get. Perhaps he was in a polygamous relationship and it was known that Messiah was in the picture. But you do not, when the first lady is murdered 2 days before an inauguration, just rock up with a new woman. 48 hours later, holding hands with someone else. And everyone just thought that was normal.
Okay. Yeah, love can be fleeting.
Okay.
In Joburg, the Johannesburg Metropolitan Police Department, JMPD, on Wednesday said traffic in main routes across the city was severely affected by the latest bout of load shedding. I know, the last 3 days, I've been stuck for an average of 2 hours on every day. Not in one, per trip, but like in the whole day, at least 2 hours have been spent in traffic. Even this morning, I was late by 3-4 minutes because there just seems to be an unbelievable volume of traffic. And I think it has to do with lights being out and with certain neighborhoods being powerless, because then obviously your traffic lights go out too.
Mm.
And that really hampers people's ability to get around. It's very frustrating. Stage 2, rotational power cuts were reintroduced last week Thursday because of a constrained system. The outage is expected to last until 6 a.m. on Thursday morning if there were no further breakdowns. JMPD spokesperson Chief Superintendent Wayne Minar, who's been in that position for like 100 years, he said they'd deployed officers to help manage the traffic. We're calling on motorists to be extra cautious as well as patient during these times and to treat those intersections with extreme caution. There's another funny thing that I noticed about the traffic yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Can we all just stop rubbernecking, please? Why would you want, just because you want to see, maybe you want to see a body... Maybe you want to see the damage to another car. Just go to the yard where they keep the cars that have been in accidents and go and walk around and take a look. And you could see the blood and you could see the crusty remains of like what would have happened in every car. And go and do that in your own time. But while the rest of us are trying to get to work or home, don't be a stupid moron. Looking at accidents is the dumbest thing ever. Stay, just keep in your lane and go as fast as you were going 2 kilometers before the accident and as fast as you will be going 2 kilometers after. There is no need
for you
to
get involved. There's some sort of psychological thing.
And if you want to see bodies, go to the morgue. Don't waste the rest of our time.
They're decomposing.
Yeah, the morgue smells not good. We can't.
Yeah. Yeah, they are decomposing.
Well, maybe people like that. If it's more, it adds to the horror, you know?
The just one thing that I note
keep moving,
on.
For God's sake.
Two of the robots on my way to and from work are now these homeless people who are making the most of the moment. Yeah. No load shedding. They're now conducting traffic. And
doing a good job?
They really are doing a good job at
good
it.
Good job.
I'm like, okay, sure.
Great job. and then Angela Merkel as...
Chancellor Merkel's in the country.
Yeah, she's in the country with her pantsuit.
Love her.
She says,
what does that have to do with anything?
She came for Jojo Rabbit last night. Didn't you know?
She was at our screening.
Yeah. She says, we have high expectations of President Cyril Ramaphosa. Imagine saying that with a German accent. Cyril Ramaphosa. And his economic reform drives. She's been president in Germany for a long ass time too. As long as Wayne Minar has been in charge of JMPD. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, one of the world's most powerful heads of state, will arrive at Waterkloof Air Force Base in Pretoria on Wednesday night for a 2-day state visit in South Africa. Her visit comes at a time when South Africa's tepid and sluggish economy, that's being kind, is being hamstrung by failing state-owned enterprises and the inability of government to enact urgent policy reforms. So Cyril's finally got something to do. He can have dinner with Angela.
see what competence looks like.
Mm. Ooh.
Oh, love
it. Yeah, there's the big splash starts today. There's a welcome ceremony for her that's kicking off at 7 in Pretoria, and then there's a briefing at 11, then there's a lunch celebration for her. So it seems like the president's going all out for her.
Well, I hope they get something done. I mean, I just really don't believe anyone in the government at the moment has they just don't have any motivation to do anything right now. They're just sitting on their hands. It's like watching a bunch of corpses moving around.
If it's about trade, we hope something
constructive
will come out of it.
Hold my breath. Look, I'm out of expectations with this government. I never thought Cyril was the miracle worker that a lot of people believed, Peter Bruce and so on. But here he is, and he's smiling. I said to someone yesterday, this guy, if you took away his smiles, you could bury him in a matchbox. He is 99% fucking empty smiles, Cyril. Smiling and shaking hands like everything's great. Spine is lying on the floor where he left it 8 years ago.
Imagine how painful this is going to be for Angela Merkel, being around such incompetence. Well, she just can't wait to get home.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really like her much either.
I'm a huge fan.
At least she's competent.
Oh, really?
Of course, because she gets it done.
No, he's sexually attracted.
I am. And she's a chemistry major, so smart.
She's very sexy. And today I'm wearing my lacy bra from Bulelo.
Is it when you see her shaking during the national anthem, does that...
I'm hugely attracted to competence.
All right. You have her all to yourself. I don't think you're going to have any competition.
No one's fighting for you.
No, it's all yours, dude. We'll open the route for you. You'd go straight to Angela. She'd probably like a good seeing to. That's probably one place in her life where there's not much competence, I'll tell you what. All right, let's move on. Poor Angela Merkel. She's come for a state visit, and here we are abusing her.
And there's load shedding while she's here. Oh, shame. Welcome to South Africa.
There's a dead monster galaxy lurking in the distant universe. Listen to this. It's from freaking CNN. The ultra-massive monster galaxy dating back to the early days of the universe lived fast and died young. The galaxy is called, very sexy name here, XMM2599. It existed 12 billion years ago, rapidly formed a bunch of stars and died, according to data and measurements astronomers took during a multi-object spectrograph for infrared exploration. The observatory is near the summit of dormant Mauna Kea in Hawaii. Even before that universe was 2 billion years old, our universe, XMM2599 had already formed a mass of more than 300 billion suns. That's bigger than you and I can imagine, I can promise you that, making it an ultra-massive galaxy. More remarkably, it formed most of the stars in a huge frenzy when the universe was less than a billion years old and then became inactive by the time the universe was only 1.8 billion years old. This stuff's so exciting. I'm going to have to read this whole article, but that's what you need to know. You want to get the kids excited about space? Tell them about stuff like this.
While I was preparing for the Neil deGrasse Tyson interview that we did the other day, I stumbled on a quote of his that actually stopped me in my tracks a bit. Neil once said that there are more stars in the universe than words that have ever been spoken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Then there are grains of sand. Ooh. On all the world's beaches.
Yeah, that puts things into perspective.
We just don't have we have no context for things that big. We don't know how to compute.
You can't wrap your head around that.
It's just too much. I mean, we can't figure out, Jacob Zuma especially, can't figure out numbers bigger than 100. Okay, he can't. Mm-hmm. And by the way, did you see his sick note, which people have been passing around from the doctor? Please excuse Jacob. He is very, with many R's, very sick, signed doctor, and at the top of it says hospital.
Do you want to know something else about the sick note? This is the same doctor who treated David Mabuza back in 2015.
Really?
On a flight to Russia with the Guptas.
Yeah.
Oh, what a small, delightful world.
Yeah, nice.
But I also learned that he is allowed to not... state what is wrong with him. Like, patient confidentiality.
No, all they said was he's got a medical condition. Now, I think we should know. We're going to pay for it.
He's got what they call the Shabir shakes.
Okay. Well, I'll actually give you that one. I will actually give you that one.
All right. Very good. Very, very interesting stuff going on all over the world. We'll talk to Canthan Pillay in a short while about the world of politics, and we'll get into some current affairs. But first, Mbulelo has got some sport for us this morning. What do you got?
A run fest in Hamilton yesterday. If you didn't see any of the cricket, go and check out the highlights. It was an absolutely awful day for the bowlers. Three bowlers went for over 80 runs in 10 overs. That's 8 and over. For those who don't understand, that is madness. Never happened. India batted first. Shreyas Iyer blasted 103 off 107 balls, and India made 347 for 4. At that stage, you thought it is all over for the New Zealanders, but it wasn't. It was incredible comeback. Ross Taylor said, "Hey, Iyer, hold my beer," because he went on and made 109 off 84 balls, bludgeoning 4 sixes, 10 fours, and New Zealand in the end chased 348 with 11 balls to spare. That is what you call value for your ticket. Nearly 700 runs in 98 overs. That is worth it. Whether you love cricket or not, that is something else. New Zealand take a 1-0 lead in the 3-game series, game 2 in Auckland on Saturday. And for those of you who like the tough guys, the Super Rugby is back. For me, the toughest rugby tournament in the world. We've set up a Cliff Central Super Brew.
Have we?
Yes, we have.
Who's in it?
That's
me.
Just you. For now. Yeah, because, well, you know what? You're fishing in really shallow waters with not a lot of talent in it here when you ask about rugby. Fundo, are you going to do this? Do you care about rugby? Just I want to find out, because I know Sia and I don't.
Yeah, so I was quite shocked by that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not for you heathens.
Are you interested? Oh, we can't hear you. Your mic's not working. Please, can that microphone just work? Ugh, what a pain. All right, just tell us. Are you interested in rugby at all?
No? Sorry, Mbulelo. No, not interested.
Yeah,
I'll pass.
Sorry. It's not for you heathens. It's for the great people we saw last night who kept saying to me, okay. Oh, yeah, we like your sport. Or we hate your sport, some people say.
All three of them that said that.
Anyway, Cliff Central Brew, if you want to take me on, join us there. Cliff Central, one word, and brew. This weekend, right. The Sharks are going to the House of Pain. They'll play the Highlanders, the Try Machine, unfortunately, from the World Cup. World Cup winner Spoon Corsi is out. Tough assignment at the House of Pain, so good luck to the Sharks. The Lions are back home after embarrassing everybody last week in Argentina. They're back in Hillbrow, otherwise you know it as Ellis Park. It's a shocking stadium to go and watch. But anyway, go and support the boys. They're back. They're playing possibly the second worst team in the tournament, Queensland Reds. They were horrendous last week in Argentina, like I said. And the big one, if you're a South African rugby fan, the Stormers play the Bulls in Cape Town. They'll hope to keep it rolling after destroying the Hurricanes last week. Good luck to Sia and the boys down in Cape Town. And then the game of the weekend, the Chiefs play the Crusaders. The Crusaders looking unbeatable. And if you're into greatness, let's move to a bit of tennis. The two greatest tennis players of all time are in the country, and they are doing their thing. It's billed as the match in Africa, which is not entirely correct because it's in Cape Town, really.
Okay.
Cape Town, as we know.
Yeah, this is the big Federer Nadal match.
That's it. It's in a different country called the Republic of Cape Town.
I know people who are going. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people very excited about this. It's a big deal, right?
Yeah, huge deal. They're trying to set a world record to get 50,000 humans at the Cape Town stadiums to come and watch.
I'm sure they'll get them.
Yeah, let's hope so. It'll break that 42,000 record that was in Mexico City, which is the previous record. So the Roger Federer, his foundation, is trying to raise $1 million for great causes. So if you're in Cape Town, Friday night, 8:30, Cape Town Stadium, be very there.
Good. All right, and it's going to be a real match. It's not some bullshit.
No, it is like a bit of a fun thing.
I see Bill Gates is coming, Trevor Noah.
Yeah, they've wrapped Bill Gates into this.
You know, you're looking at...
But he's done this before. He has...
It's the fifth, sixth edition, but I mean, now this is special. These are two greatest of all time. And, you know, in anything, I mean, when is the last time you could say, I don't know, Bill Gates and Wozniacki are in the same room? Right, you never get to see that.
Yeah.
These are the two apex predators of the tennis game. So great to have them in this country. Roger Federer, the prodigal son, has come home.
Very good.
I'm surprised you aren't in Cape Town this weekend.
Loved the movie last night. Thank you, guys. That's a compliment at the Jojo Rabbit premiere last night. That's Roxanne.
You don't have to put on a red light.
And then someone with some feedback from yesterday, Zanele, saying, could Gareth and Gord allow each other to please finish their points? It's a damn podcast. Surely you aren't pressured for time. It's a good point.
Okay.
Gord, you guys have seen, and he's been on the show long enough now, it's impossible once that train starts moving to get a word in edgewise. If I just let him carry on, and I do sometimes because he's very funny, but if I let him carry on, I swear to God, you'll be exhausted. He'll be out of breath. He'll pass out. We're going to have medical conditions. It's going to be very bad. You're going to have to get Jacob Zuma's doctor to write a sick note. Bad things will happen.
It's actually like the world's eighth wonder see Gord in action like this.
It is, actually. And when he gets going, he's great. But Zanella is making a good point, so I'll be sure to pass that on to Gord as some useful, constructive feedback. Sia, it is perfectly okay to disagree with and challenge other people. You're 25, stand your ground. Also from Zanella.
Oh.
And Zanella has some feedback for you, Mbulelo. You've been told before, Gareth is not alone in the studio. You're allowed to jump in and argue as well. I complain less when, and I think it's because you say Gareth when you speak.
Yes.
So stop doing that. I complain less when I've eaten. Peace and love, Zanella.
Oh.
Thank you, Zanella.
That's constructive feedback.
That's actually really, yeah. You know what? I appreciate that. Thank you. Usually I react badly to criticism, but in that case, it was well-founded.
But that's feedback, not criticism.
Yeah,
she hasn't been malicious. Yeah. Love that.
Listening to Tuesday about the iPhone and Sears that went missing over the weekend when he had it stolen from him, someone took my mom's iPhone and we tracked it to a shop in town. My dad and brother and I went in and got it back. I should disclose, they are certifiable, but no one was hurt. They just gave the guys the option to return it or stand by while they get the cops there because they had stolen goods on their premises. You thought about this. I know you had this conversation with Pumi and...
Yeah, I thought about it, but I just thought, what if the situation turns sour and really now you're waiting for the cops to come around? Or what if you stumble upon people who have weapons and then, or they start running, then I have to chase people in CBD? No, that's... No, I'll give that a pass.
Just showing how great our audience are, Hermine is very excited. She's going to an event today where Angela Merkel will be addressing students.
Okay.
I will be wearing, she says, my finest pantsuit for the event. I also downloaded the fart app on my phone. It's going to be epic.
Hermine.
Please, this is great. Hermine, please get someone to film you dropping the fart app sounds right next to Angela in your pantsuit. I will be so proud of you. In fact, if you can wear the most boring plain pantsuit you can find, and you can even have your hair like Angela, I would, that would be so great. Because they won't know that you're taking the piss. But we will. Someone should add David Attenborough to the list. He's 93. Or Bernie Sanders. He just had a heart attack and he's super stressed with the election. Good point.
We need lost causes that are younger. That's the thing. The one in their 90s, that's given.
Yeah.
They won't give us another point.
Bulelo, here's a question for you from... I can't see who this is. Mm-hmm. I can't see your name here.
Oh, great profile picture, though.
Great, very professional profile picture. I think it's Sam. So, mm-hmm. Sam, will the tennis match be broadcast for us homebound idiots?
I'm pretty sure it will. I'll have a look for you now. I think it'll be on Supersport.
All right. And then we've got Tato joining your Super Brew. Very exciting.
Okay, which brings the tally up to 4.
And those students that torched the HIV support center have decided to burn another building down. I don't want to pay for these people to be educated. You know, this happened in UKZN, I think. There was an HIV support center, which students, in inverted commas, burnt down. Now, someone asked me on social media, at what point do you stop referring to them as students and start referring to them as arsonists and criminals? Because that's what they are. And there is no reason that the state should pay for anything for these people once they have destroyed state property or university property. Just cut the money immediately. You're on your own now. Go away. You are not getting anything from government again. Not a book, not a lesson, not a room, not a bed. Out.
Gareth, I can't get behind that because we don't have the same vigor against our politicians. If we are serious, when our politicians steal billions and we show this kind of vigor would to students, I can get on board. I can't get on board now that we show more vigor to marginalized. Most people are marginalized in this country. Mm. But when these monsters in parliament, we kind of just let it go. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well,
unless we show, to whom much is given, much is expected. We should be setting these guys in parliament on fire.
You make a good point. I agree with you, but good luck. You know, Jacob Zuma posted a picture this morning, how little he gives a fuck, of him with a gun and a four-wheeler. I mean, it could have been taken, you know, when he was still well, in inverted commas. But he's what he's doing by posting a picture like that is just really thumbing his nose at everybody.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing.
I'm not scared of you people, and you can have your arrest warrant. It's not going to do a damn thing. That's what he's saying.
He's a monster. He's an absolute monster. He's decrepit.
I know. Did I miss Garrett's four-hour rant on the Democrats and Donald Trump? James, no, it wasn't 4 hours, but you did miss like 10 minutes. So if you want to go back, it's in part one. I mean, you could choose to educate yourself.
Ooh. listen properly.
Listen properly. That's from James. Okay.
I'm done with those references. I'm done with Zuma right now. I'm done with people who are even just finding it entertaining that he posts that picture up. People were saying, oh, Mshinuam. No, it's... Let's not entertain this nonsense anymore.
You think we should cut him out and pay no attention?
Like, yeah. I was going to say ignore him, but no. We shouldn't just ignore him. We should be making constructive steps forward. But to keep on just being humored by things like this, I'm sorry. I'm not there. Ah, there we go.
That's right.
Bazubaleka tubula.
Because that's obviously the reason that everything's
he's
wrong.
Having fun. He couldn't be bothered right now.
Absolutely.
I don't even think he's in Cuba. He's probably he has a layover somewhere in like Bora Bora.
Once again, the honorable member is premising his question on an information that is not accurate.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And then Edward Zuma came out in his defense. I'm thinking, oh, please, folks.
Well, it is clear that after we had gone through elections, and I think it was reported that I was exhausted. And then quickly the doctors took a very good decision to say I should take it easy. And that's what I've done. I know that people were speculating. I read in the newspapers that how sick I am and what is it that, what are the diseases that are in me? I was shocked. I thought that it may be another Jacob Zuma, not this one.
I took a shower. I cannot be sick.
Look, I grew up writing my own school letters sometimes at school. I would write more of a convincing note than that.
Incredible.
Absolutely.
Just to circle back, Super Sword 1, 6:30 p.m. Watch Roger Federer and Nadal on Friday.
All right. Okay, it's 7 o'clock. So when we come back, the burning platform this morning, Canthan Pele. We were going to be joined by another guest. It would have been Deep Fried Man Daniel Friedman, who's been a person of some interest in the news recently. The Citizen, however, have asked that we don't interview him, and so that's been stopped, which is kind of annoying. These are the things that happen in live broadcasts that you can do nothing about. But we will get him in at some point.
Look, I think it. Well, not even, I think it's fair to say we can read out what he sent to us. And he says that he's been itching to tell his side of the story.
Sure.
And that right now he's been told that he cannot speak during his suspension. It would have been great to know this ahead of time.
Yeah.
But alas.
Well, you know, this does happen, I'm afraid. So I would love to have him in here. I know Canthan was very excited to talk to him, but we've got loads of things to get into anyway, so it's not a bad thing that we'll have a bit of time to talk about all the stories that are in the news. This is for Jacob Gedlihlekisa Zuma, and a song that was suggested by Craig on our WhatsApp line, 079-748-2090. Gedlihlekisa, take it easy.
Cliffcentral.com.